This morning, we are blessed to have the presence of Beverly Hamilton, who called me out of the blue, and we know there's no out of the blue, to tell me about that she was going to be in Corpus. She had written this book. And so I listened to her, and we got her phone number and everything, and then I went online and read some portions of her book to see where she was coming from, where her heart and her spirit was. She is unity. Actually, she's Course of Miracles. But we are so delighted to have her here with us. Her book, Our Timeless Year, is about her husband, Ulf, who was diagnosed with dementia, and they were faced with a challenging future. Through this personal story, she tells how love conquers fear and how joy and laughter can prevail. And today, Beverly will speak on letting go of who we think we are. She's also brought some of her books, and we'll do a book signing after the service. So we welcome you. And I will do the meditation, so let's just relax in our chairs. I'm not Mike, so I can't walk around. Just relax in your chairs. Close your eyes if it's appropriate, and feet flat on the floor, connected with Mother Earth. And just know that God is fully present right here, right now, in you, as you, and everything in between. There is only God. God is love. You are love. We're going to listen to a piece of music, and as we listen to this, think of it as God singing to you. These words are for you personally. We can't do it? Oh. Well, I'll sing it. No. Just relax. We're going to take care of this. It's Joe Cocker singing, "You Are So Beautiful." And you are so beautiful. Just know that in your hearts as we prepare to hear it. And that's exactly the way you are seen by God. You are beautiful. You are perfect. You are just as He created Him. We're finished with the music. Thank you. So you are that perfect child of God. Know that in your heart. Know that in your entire being, that wherever you go, you are loved. There's nothing between you and God. All you need to go inside yourself to that secret place where you can talk and listen, unfettered. Unfettered and loved, totally without anything in between. Thank you, God, for this time together. Thank you for your love. And that we share with each other right now. Amen.
I really feel honored being here. This is my first rodeo. It's been the first time I've spoken, you know, to a general group. But I want to start. I'm not new to Corpus. I have cousins who live here, and my husband Ulf and I were here on many occasions for weddings, fiestas, parades, a lot of, you know, mariachis, and so we never refused an invitation, so we were here a lot. And just briefly on my career and background, I've always been a little bit of an adventurer. So in 1960, if any of you were here then, I ventured off to Germany to work in an American school, and I started working with children who had been labeled, I call it, less than perfect. I went from there to Colorado to graduate work, and then also worked in a treatment center for psychotic boys, 22. Now, here's where I first began to distrust labels. Four of them graduated from the university. One went to MIT. So maybe psychosis is a prerequisite for MIT, who knows? And from there I went to Children's Hospital, Child Development Center in San Francisco. So I've been a little bit of an adventurer, and also spiritual path. I've always been fascinated with identity, how we make ourselves up. That's always been a curiosity to me. And, you know, as I look and I say, well, people put themselves in boxes, put a label on it and said, this is who I am. And I'm always looking. And when I was in San Francisco, I took some workshops with Dr. Fritz Perls. He had worked with Freud at one time. And he was developed gestalt therapy. And so I was interested in that. And I began to learn through that. Again, I'm not an expert on anything, but I dabble. And but what I did learn, began to learn about projection. And let me share a story with you. I was working with a little boy, had been a school terror. And so he came to me, and one day he said, there's a monster in the hallway. And I said, well, bring him in. It's too much light in here. So I said, okay. A couple days later, I said, walk in. We're just going to play a game. This is just pretend. We're going to pretend to bring the monster here and put him in that empty chair in front of you. I said, this is just pretend. We're not really going to do it. So pretty soon, the empty chair, his eyes went all the way up to the ceiling. I said, boy, you have a big monster. I said, what would you say to him? And the school terror says, hello, my name's Joaquin. Now, Joaquin's father was an abusive alcoholic. Now, Joaquin's like maybe 8 years old. And I said, now, Joaquin, what we'll do is just pretend, you pretend you're the monster. So he went to the empty chair, and he just morphed into this big thing. And he turned around, and he kicked his little chair. And he says, Joaquin, you're stupid. You don't know anything. Nobody likes you. And that was the monster speaking. And I said, Mr. Monster, I said, you should really be nice to Joaquin. He's a pretty nice kid. You should get to know him. Went back and forth a little bit, but I didn't dwell on it. About a week later, Joaquin came in. He says, you remember that monster? I said, yeah. He's my friend, and he lets me hug him. You see how dissolving that polarity, then in a sense, that's probably what forgiveness is. Because, you know, he had interjected his father, and hopefully he didn't become his father because of that. Because sometimes we become what we defend against. And what I also noticed about these kids, that they had forgotten how to laugh. And because you can only really laugh when you feel free. And they were fearful. They were protecting whatever label they'd been given or defending against whatever label they'd been given. And so in 1975, I met, through Jerry Jampolsky, he started something called the Center for Attitudinal Healing in 75. I met Helen Schuckman and Bill Thetford, who brought us The Course in Miracles. And Judy Scutch then published them. In fact, I had lunch with Judy last week. She said, tell everybody hello. She's kind of outrageous. But when I looked at that, you know, I met these people and they had these books. Jerry had given me three little yellow books. And so I said, Jerry, is this another religion or something? He said, no, it's just a set of books, you know. And, but as I began to look at it, I began to get the message of how we have to unravel what we think we are, what we think we made up, in order to open to spirit. Because it seems what we've made up has become a block to that spirit within us. It's already there. We don't have to look for it. We just have to remove the blocks to it. Now, it seems that to me, the purpose of our egos that we've created, and I use the word ego as this thing we made up from all these little images in our little brain that we attach to emotions and says, this is who I am. Who knows how we make ourselves up? But that it seems the whole purpose of this ego is to keep us separate, you know, in whatever form. You can say, I have an identity of being good only because here's somebody I know is bad. So everything is black, white, good, bad, duality. But that, like Joaquin, that exists inside of us. So part of our process is dissolving that polarity, and that opens us up a little more. Judy Scutch, who published the course, she sent me this. I loved it. This is Einstein. And he said, everything is energy, and that's all there is to it. Match the frequency of the reality you want, and you can't help but get that reality. So now I'm thinking, maybe the ego, it's not good or bad or anything, it's just a lower frequency. And that our spirit is a higher frequency. But not to make judgment, but it's just a different movie, a different way of seeing. And one has to do with separation and the other has to do with unity and joining. That seems pretty simple. I wonder when we're gonna get it. I like stories, and I have a couple of stories here. Barbara was a friend of mine, and at the time, she was, I believe, a religious science minister where I was living. And she said, I called one day and said, Beverly, can I talk with you? And I said, yes, sure. And I went over, and she says, somebody on my board is trying to get me fired. Now, I've sent love to him. I've prayed. I bathed him in white light, and I said, he didn't vaporize, you know. Anyway, it's still a problem. And I said, when you talk about it, where do you feel it? And she says, right here, I guess. And I said, well, why don't you meditate and focus on that a while and see what happens? So the next day she called and she says, Beverly, you're not going to believe it. I heard my father saying you will never be a minister. So she said, I had to forgive my father for saying it and myself for believing it. But see, that was something she kept down. In a sense, though, she gave the guy on the board her script. He read it to her. And I said, you know what? I said, how do you feel? And she said, I feel a little freer, like I'm opening. I said, why don't you try sending gratitude to the guy who shined the light on this little shadow within yourself that allowed you to open up a little more. And by sending gratitude, she opens herself even more because she dissolves that separation. He's no longer the enemy, he's her teacher. So these are just lessons. That's the way I learned, you know, just through living. And those, as we begin to clear our mind of these obstacles from the past, and, you know, don't have to be huge things, they're little things. You know, I think we can choose, we're like selecting what lens we're going to have our see through our experience. You know, we can see through the lens of separation and fear, or we can see through the lens of love. And I think that is our choice on what we're going to do. My book, Our Timeless Year, Miracles of Love, Lighten the Clouds of Dementia, it's about my husband, Ulf, and my journey. And in our last, what became our last year, we didn't know it was going to be our last year. And he was from Sweden, born in Sweden. And when we met, he became interested in the spiritual, my exploring spiritual paths. And he was willing to look within. He wanted to. And that's why I married him. that willingness to at least look, you know, not any particular belief or anything, but the willingness to look within, to open. So I think our relationship was a lot like, what can we learn from each other, and how can we teach each other our openness, and how we can be each other's teacher. Like if I, you know, get really pissed or something, you know what? What's my reaction? And I think that's the main thing, is our first clue when we're hiding a little secret here to ourselves is our reaction to a situation, regardless what it is, and regardless how little it is. Because through our reaction, whoever caused it can become our teacher. You know, I use it on little things. If I'm driving along and a bully comes and pulls in front of me in this big truck and all that, you better watch out for this grandma. And I thought, oh, thank you. He just brought out the bully in me. And I send gratitude to him. But Ulf always had the daily word with him. That was his Bible. He loved it. And a dear friend of ours, Max Lafser, we were in the Bay Area, then we moved to Sedona for a while, and Max was a Unity minister there, so we've all become close friends, and Max is now a Unity minister in Tyler. And it was always in his back pocket up to the very end. I mean, that's one thing he never lost, was that connection. But he liked, like Eckhart Tolle's, being in the present moment. The Course said, the present is the only time there is, which was a real comfort for him when he went into his present moment. He carried that with him. And as his memory faded, that didn't fade. Now I brought a picture of Ulf only because he couldn't be here.
Sure.
He's up cavorting with the angels or something, But this is a picture of Ulf. And this was his last year. This is in that time I was writing about. But you can see that openness, at a time when who he thought he was gone. But he was opening up to a new world, and he loved it. And we played But it's because that was familiar to him, that energy and that feeling. And briefly, a little brief about the diagnosis. 4 months after he was diagnosed with maybe having dementia, he started acting out his dreams. And so I hit the internet and I discovered sleep apnea. Never heard of it. And picked up the phone right then, called the University of Arizona, and they were having a study with Stanford University, one of the first, correlating sleep apnea and diminished neurological capacity, i.e. dementia. So he was in the first study. He had significant sleep apnea that had caused silent strokes over the year. And then that's what began to, this is what happened to him. Now, we moved from Sedona to Northern California to a beautiful place, sight unseen. We were just renting. I'm deer in the headlights. It's like throwing a dart at the board. And it turned out to be a beautiful place, overlooking a golf course, a retirement area. But it became our retreat this last year. And he would say, "Beverly, feel that energy." You know, he'd feel it coming through. And he says, "Take my hand, feel that." And he'd have to go share it. He says, "I have more than I can handle myself. I have to share it." So we'd go in a park, there had a big park there around a lake and all. And you would see him, very appropriate. And he'd go, he'd pretty soon elicit a smile from somebody or make a remark. And then he said, "See, that's what I do." He said, "That energy connects with something inside them." And of course, to him, the smile was the response, "I got it." See? And, but I'm thinking, maybe Ulf was dealing in this higher frequency that we all have. But until we see it mirrored, sometimes we don't recognize it. And that's why, you know, it's so wonderful to for us to be the carriers, to be the mirrors for people who don't recognize what they already have within themselves. You don't have to go looking for it. Now, one of the things, and these are some of the things I wrote about, is Ulf one day said, "You know, why can't I see God? You know, why can't I call him up?" I said, "Oh," and I could understand why, you know, ancient cultures, anybody needs a symbol to describe something so abstract, you know, to us. And I said, "Oh, let's see, what do I do?" I said, "Oh, you see that tall lamp?" I said, "You can't see the electricity going through it, but you can see the light." "Oh," and I said, "Maybe that's what you're doing in your walk. You know, this is that energy, and you're lighting, sending your light to someone else and lighting them up." He liked that. He got it. I said, "Now, if you get upset or angry, you unplug your light." So about an hour later, he came. He'd gotten upset because he'd lost his glasses or something. He says, "I think I just unplugged my light." But he one day came and said, "Where does anger come from?" And I said, "Well, let's see, Ulf." I said, "You know, pretend you're really angry. You know, double up your fist so he did this like that." And I said, "Okay, how do you feel?" "Powerful." I said, "How do you want to feel?" "Oh, I want to feel peaceful." And I said, "Well, who do you think's telling you to be angry?" "Oh." See, and that's what we had, this common language help. He said, "Oh, it must be my ego." I said, "Who do you think wants you to be peaceful?" "Oh, that's God." And I said, "Well, if your ego is one teacher telling you to be separate or whatever, and God is your other teacher," I said, "Oh, maybe the only power any of us have is choosing which teacher we're going to listen to." And he said this, and he I took a lot of recordings, but he says, when we're angry or upset at any reason, we are attacking ourselves because the ego wants to push everyone away and be separate. If we're peaceful, it doesn't have anything to do. So there's one last story. It was New Year's Eve, and I had a fire in the fireplace and candlelight and beautiful table set, and had the TV on, no sound. And so I said, well, why do you have the TV on? I said, it's Times Square, it's New Year's. Oh, of course, you know, time is relative to him. So I'm going to educate him. I get out the calendar. I said, now we're going from 09 to 010. He said, Beverly, you know, put that away. I sat down. He took my hand, and he looked deep into my eyes, and he says, Beverly, my being here with you is the only time there is. Now, Ulf has his journey in time is over. And his only identity is the one he shares with God and remembers only the love. So in what would have been our most challenging time became one of many precious moments seen through the lens of love. Thank you. Thank you.